Who are you?
I am Ross.
From?
The Future Heads.
And Ross, who'd you have beside you?
Barry.
From?
The Future Heads.
Ross from the Future Heads, you like scratchy music, don't you?
I suppose so, yeah.
Yes, you do. It says that in your bio. And right now we're here at...
Scratch Records.
Scratch Records in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Excellent.
Now, it also says, Ross, that you like Wham. Is it true that Ross likes Wham?
A lot of Wham, yeah.
Why do you like Wham?
I do not like Wham. Who said that?
You said you like Wham.
Who said that?
You said that.
Never.
You said you like Wham because they played in China.
Actually, I did say that.
Yes, you did say that.
I did. Only because they played in China, though, not because of the music they made or anything.
But that's amazing they played in China.
I think it's pretty fantastic that they played in a whole tour of the People's Republic of China, like, because who goes and does that?
Just Wham.
Now, what do you think, Barry, about Ross denying me right off the bat there? I was telling him the truth, and he was lying. Do you have that problem in the Future Heads?
Yeah, he's a big liar, mainly.
He lied.
And there's four big liars in the band, aren't there?
Hmm. Varying degrees.
Because you all sing.
We do. We do all sing.
So speaking of touring China, etc., you guys have been real touring madmen, haven't you?
Yeah. It's been fairly relentless the last few months, yeah. But it's all good fun.
Now, why is this happening? Is this happening because, like, Oasis failed? Are you having to tour lots because Oasis failed?
I think they were just lazy, frankly. Like, I think that it was all a bit sort of arrogant on their part, really. I think they thought they could just storm in here, take what was rightly theirs, leave.
Exactly, like you're paying for Oasis' sins, aren't you, you Future Heads?
I think we are, but we're enjoying it.
But how hard are you working? Because you are working. I mean, how many tours are you doing this year? There's tons. Like, you're playing Vancouver, and you're coming back in a couple months to play Vancouver.
We're playing a lot of tours. We're putting in 110% every time. It's hard work.
But it's also fun, I understand, Future Heads, Barry and Ross. On this particular tour, do you bring along Randy? Who is Randy? Are you bringing Randy along?
Sadly, Randy's not with us this tour because he was our driver for the last two North American tours, and he was a real swell guy. But he's in the haulage industry now.
Yeah, he's retired from driving rock bands, having driven Slayer for 10 years.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. He told you some juicy Slayer tidbits, so please elaborate.
Well, my favourite is that the Flea, Randy's alias, decided one evening to get a tattoo on the back of his head, a sort of anti-racism tattoo. I think he took it from the logo of that band Static X, which I don't really approve of, but, you know, I'm down with the sentiment. And because he got a little number on the back of his head here, Kerry King thought, oh, I can't be outcooled by this guy, so he got a full head tattoo. Just to kind of go one beyond the Flea.
So basically, the bus driver for the Future Heads caused Slayer to get more tattoos.
Amazing, huh?
But you don't have them anymore. You gotta get them back.
He's retired. He's finished, you know.
He's in the haulage industry. He's driving trucks from Tennessee to Florida and Florida to Tennessee and then, you know, from Tennessee to Florida and Florida to Tennessee, and he seems to be enjoying that.
So, Future Heads, continuing on your touring adventures, you land in the United States of America a little while back, and the airport security guards know who you are?
Well, they don't so much know who we are, they know who Franz Ferdinand are.
I thought the security guard knew who you were, that you were opening for Franz Ferdinand.
Well, he was like, you know...
He hazarded a guess that we were.
But that's pretty freaky, isn't it? Like the security guard going, hey, I'm into the Future Heads.
We couldn't believe that. We were like, Jesus Christ, how big a Franz Ferdinand over here? Like if the airport security men know them, they were like, oh, we know Alex and Nick quite well. They let us come backstage a lot of the time. And we're like looking at each other going like, how big are the shows going to be here? Like,
so that was a good sign then?
Absolutely.
So what have the signs been for this particular tour that the Future Heads are on? Who greeted you at the airport? What's happened?
Who greeted us at the airport?
Have there been any good signs?
They greeted a man with a card saying Future Heads greeted us at the airport to take us to the hotel.
That's pretty good. That's almost an improvement in a way.
Bit of a luxury. He was there especially for us rather than some fella that knew Franz Ferdinand were.
But you guys are the Future Heads, Ross and Barry of the Future Heads. Now, looking at you guys right now, is this your stage wear?
I suppose you could say it is, really. Like, yeah.
Not totally, because I understand you like buttoning up right to the top.
Yeah,
that's a basmati.
That's what I do, but today I'm going a little bit more casual.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering about that. What's it like buttoning up when you wear like your shirt's done all the way up and buttoned up at the bottom?
It's good. It makes you feel like a man.
But you also get very sweaty, don't you?
Yeah, we all get very sweaty. I don't button right up to the
but
top.
How ridiculous does it get with Barry? How sweaty does it get?
He gets very sweaty. You can wring his shirt out.
Does he wring it over the audience?
Always.
Because that's a real punk way of thing, doing things.
He lassoes the audience with his sweaty shirts.
Future heads, one other theory I had about you doing up your shirts right to the top is what might be underneath your shirts.
Well, it's not so much what's underneath our shirt. I've got something to say about buttoning up your shirt right to the top. I recently spoke to a doctor about some vocal issues, and he said that wearing tight clothing is not advisable for your vocal situation, because it can cause serious kind of problems with your vocal cords. It can increase your amount of heartburn that you experience as well.
So maybe that's something to keep in mind there, Barry.
Yeah, he doesn't suffer from that sort of thing.
I don't have a problem with it. You do, though, don't you?
But medical atrocities, that's what I was thinking about. Is that why you're buttoning up, too? Maybe because there's something underneath? Because in the first day video, there was some gross things going on.
There was some crazy prosthetics, wasn't there?
Yeah, what was going on?
Well, you know, we were just sort of mad scientists for the day, you know, crazy prosthetic limbs, crazy, you know, straight-faced, wailing away. Barry had some special hands and stuff like that.
I had a drill with a fake hand with a microphone on it, similar to this. And I'd have to, like, put the microphone like this and then put it like that to make it look like it was my hand. And then every now and then I'd press the button on the drill and the hand would go, shh, you know, 360 degrees.
It was a great video. Real great medical atrocities there, Future Heads.
Thanks, man. Thanks very much.
Future Heads, I'm speaking to you right now, and you're replying to me in a certain dialect. What dialect is that?
That would be Macum.
Now, what's the big deal about the Macum thing? I don't understand the big deal about the Macum thing.
Well, I think in England there is a habit of regionalisation with bands, you know, and kind of it's such a small country, it's quite surprising the amount of different accents and dialect that comes from there. But there aren't really many bands from our area, Sunderland, northeast of England. So for us to sing in our own accents, the Macum accent is deemed quite unusual.
But how hard is it to not sing in your own accent? Like, how hard is it?
Baby. It's not too difficult, but, you know, that would be a lie, wouldn't it? That would be dishonest.
So what do people sing in? What are the accents that people sing from Macum? What do people try to adopt?
But there's people who sing in American accents, you know, kind of transatlantic wailing, similar to the singer from Pearl Jam, maybe. Mm. And, you know,
which might sound like,
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Like that, you know. Yeah.
I also found it interesting, Future Heads. I saw a transcription of an interview you did, and in the interview you talked about the band The Gang of Four.
Right, okay, yeah, The Gang of Four.
The Gang of Four, but somebody listening to you thought you called them the Gamma Four. Get it? It was transcribed Gamma 4.
Gamma 4. I suppose I can see why that might happen. But, I mean, you know, once again, that's just sort of being marginalised for your accent. People need to pay a little bit more attention, do their research. Well, like you've obviously done.
Well, I was curious, where have people thought that you are from? Have people thought you're from Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
Someone asked us if we were from Denmark before when we were in there.
Are you from the Czech Republic?
Now, why would they think Czech Republic, or why would they think Denmark?
I don't know, maybe there's an aggressive tone to our voices.
I think that happened in Texas, and it was at a gig where sometimes when we get excited and we speak to the audience, we speak very quickly, and some people can't understand a word what we're saying, you know, because we do have quite a strange accent, and this girl thought that I was from the Czech Republic because of that. She hazarded a guess to the Czech Republic.
Fair enough. Which is quite, you might have a little bit of a sort of Czechoslovakian vibe about you, though, as well, you know.
And you look a bit Swedish, too, eh?
Sexy.
He looks a bit Swedish? I don't know.
I think you could pull off.
Trying to hop aboard that bandwagon, eh? The Hives bandwagon. Boy, has that been derailed, eh? What the hell happened there, eh?
I don't know what to say.
I know. What can you say?
What's going on?
I wished him all the best, but I'm sorry. It's over, isn't it?
I don't know. They're quite big.
It's over, isn't it?
In the UK, they're still there, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Hives.
Oh, right. I didn't even realise you were talking about the Hives there. They are very big in the UK. There was this amazing quote from the guy from the Hives. One festival, he was like, this is our next single. I want to say to everyone, go out and buy it. But then again, I'm not bothered because I'm independently wealthy. So then they just played the song.
Ba-boom.
Exactly.
They are amazing, aren't they?
He's a great frontman, like.
Future Heads, you're important too, though. What is the importance of tongue massages? What's the big deal about tongue massages?
He knows all about the
It's tongues. A good way to warm your voice up. You start off by massaging your tongue and then doing things like,
all warmed up, future heads. I understand you do not perform the song Danger of the Water live, do you?
No, we don't, no.
But you can perform it right now for us here at Scratch Records. Aren't you warmed up? No, come on, one, no, two, three. No, down by the old, down by the old.
Do, 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 do.
Come on, can't you do that?
What song?
Because all these people are asking to do Danger of the Water,
it's
right?
It's too slow, though. It's too slow. It's
explain a bit of background on that.
We're in a punk rock shop. Well, we just thought, like, you know, sometimes the guitars can get too loud. And we just thought we're a band with four singers, one, two, three, four singers. And we thought, you know, we're in the studio. What a better chance to showcase our vocal talents than by putting the guitars down for 5 minutes and just singing our little hearts out.
And as you did in the studio, you refused to do it live at gigs.
We've got...
You're not working hard.
Two limbs.
Oasis would do that.
They wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
They wouldn't.
They yeah, they would.
Fight each other.
Yes, they would. He's been forced to do that, hasn't he? All by himself.
I suppose he has on a sort of a larger scale, but, you know, we are missing two vital members of the band, and, you know, this...
Oh, you never cared about those guys anyways.
There's about...
I hope they're watching.
Oh, come on, just a little bit of Danger of the Water, please, future heads. Because, I mean, the amazing thing about the future heads is your harmonies, and people got to know about that. Come on.
Do, 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 do,
you have to move it closer.
Do, 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 do. There you go. How about that?
That was very good. You gave the old college try, and I think that's very important for people to understand that the future heads are up for everything because you're from Sunderland. Sunderland. And I was wondering about the rich musical history of Sunderland, and immediately I was confronted by the Toy Dolls. Mm-hmm. What can you tell the people about the Toy Dolls from Sunderland?
I can tell you a few things about them.
Because they were a big influence, I think, on the Sunderland area. And they have an interesting song there. One of their songs there is on Queen Alexandra Road. Yeah. Is that a place in Sunderland?
Yeah, next to the Queen Alexandra Bridge.
Because this band, the Toy Dolls, they have a lot of their songs about Sunderland. What other songs do you know about the Toy Dolls?
She Goes to Fino's.
That used to be a nightclub for the over 30s.
I've
got a song called North Sea Ferry.
North Sea Ferry. I don't think I'm familiar with that one. They have I've Got Asthma. That's a pretty good one.
I went to the doctor and he gave us one of these.
I've got asthma. What else have they got?
What about Peter's Practice Place? Have you heard of that?
Peter's Practice Place.
Oh, that was in Hendon.
It's before our time, that mind. There's only one practice space left in the area of Sunderland, and that's The Bunker, which Marty, one of the Toy Dolls drummers, has a record shop only around the corner called Hot Rats, named after the Frank Zappa record. Mm-hmm. He often gets referred to as the Denim Snowman because he's a baldy-headed guy with lots of denim.
So we have the Toy Dolls from Sunderland. Do you guys have any of that Toy Dolls influence? Have you been wearing Toy Dolls pins on your tours of America?
I've got a Toy Dolls shirt, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I stole it from someone.
Have you worn it on tours?
I think he has worn it on tours in the past, like, yeah.
Do you have any Toy Doll stuff to represent your homeland here in North America?
No.
You don't?
We should have some Toy Doll stuff to represent, shouldn't we?
Yes, and we can give you some right now, and this is courtesy to people at Scratch Records, some Toy Dolls buttons, so you can wear them proud. And again, the importance of the Toy Dolls, please, for the people out there that are wondering.
Check them out. Like, they had a top five single at one point. No, it's more than we've ever had. It's amazing, isn't it?
The Toy Dolls, but it doesn't stop in Sunderland. There is also this band here, the Leatherface.
Yeah, we know these guys, like Frankie Stubbs. He's a hard ass, isn't he?
Yeah. So before the Future Heads, so it's a bit of rock and roll, wasn't there?
Oh yeah.
No, there was. There's a nice little punk rock scene sort of bubbling under in Sunderland. Like, it's nice. The only problem is that there needs to be a few more venues for bands to play, you know, because all these other groups would just have to go and play elsewhere. They couldn't really do hometown shows.
Are you guys into Leatherface then?
Yeah, absolutely. The Cherry Knoll, in case you're wondering, is the mental home in Sunderland. Yeah.
What songs do you have that are about Sunderland exactly? Do you have any song titles that are about Sunderland?
We had a song called Park Inn, which is about a bar in Sunderland where all the BNP used to go and hang out, all the skinheads, and it was about them.
What did the punks think of, you guys?
The old punks in Sunderland, there's a veteran punk scene. I think they like us.
Because there's that Oi band Red Alert.
That's right, the Red Alert. I'm sure I've seen them at a shower show at one of our shows in the past. And, you know, especially when we were, like, doing really small shows in Sunderland at, like, little pubs and illegal bars and that, then it would be all the, like, crust types would come down and that, and all the old punk rockers. And I don't know, we've played gigs with another old punk band from Sunderland called The Pits, and yeah. Frankie's been to loads of shows before from Leatherface and that. So it's a nice. It's a really small community, but it's very comforting. It's nice.
Now, I'm just wondering here, you guys know everything about Sunderland, since you're from Sunderland. Are these guys the Cigarettes from Sunderland? Have you heard of the Cigarettes at all before?
Cigarettes?
Oh. Are they meant to be from Sunderland, are they?
I think there was the Carpets and the Cigarettes. Does that ring any bells?
When was this?
This is like a late 70s, early 80s, 7-incher.
You don't know.
I don't recognise these guys, like, I'm sure I'd know them.
See, thank you very much for identifying that stuff. I don't think Oasis would have helped me with my Sunderland music fixation, but you guys will. You're more than willing to help out because you are the future.
Heads.
So, skipping out of the punk rock in Sunderland, did Tom Cruise at one time live in Sunderland?
I think he did, yeah. I think he lived around the corner from me, actually, yeah.
How did that happen? What the hell is he doing there?
I think he was researching what it's like to live in a small mining village, you know, amongst the Mackems with their method acting amongst bands like the Toy Dolls and Leatherface. Nice guy, actually, like, but you know. Small.
Did you actually run into him?
I used to deliver papers to him.
To Tom Cruise?
Hmm?
You ran him over on your bike, didn't you?
No way, really?
No, did I?
What was the interaction? Like, I would have been like, here's my band tape.
I was like, well, you know, how's it going, Tom? And he'd be like, oh, shut up, man. Christ, I'm trying to get to listen to the Toy Dolls. I'm trying to listen to Leatherface. You're not in a band. Shut up. I'm not interested. And then years later, when I joined the Futureheads...
He rings you up?
Every now and again, he wants to be friends, but now he's moved out of the area. I'm not having it, mate. We still live in Sunderland. We're staying true to our roots. Don't know why I hate them move out and...
Yeah, then where's those buttons? You're supposed to be wearing the buttons.
I'm cradling mine, mate. I'm
the Toy Dolls buttons.
Enjoying the cigarettes. I need to do something with this if I'm going to put my badge in. Barry, hold on to this a second, mate.
Winding up here, future heads, Sunderland champions, the youth project. That was important. The Toy Dolls jam about songs, about places to play. What was the youth project?
It was just a youth project to get kids off the streets and get them involved in positive activities. So we went used to go along and write songs like the condom song.
Do you sniff glue?
Sniff glue.
Now, can you do the condom song for us at all?
Yeah, the lyrics are use a condom, use a blob, use a...
He really is quiet, isn't he?
Stick it on your knob.
Wow, that's really good. Can you do that one more time? Because I think it interrupted you rudely.
It's okay.
Oh, please?
Use a condom, use a blob, use a condom, stick it on your knob.
Oh, that's awesome. So you composed that song, and in return for doing that, you actually got to practice, right? What was the deal behind that?
Well, it was just like a youth collective whereby loads of kids had come down and you'd spend a bit of time sort of working on them sort of issue type songs, collaborative stuff, and then like for the last hour, if you had a band or you had something that you wanted to rehearse, then you could go and do it for free. And that's where we all met each other, you know, and we didn't really put the band together whilst we were at the project, but we made some connections which, you know, have lasted for 5 years now.
I thought they made you do certain songs, like, you know, stop smoking, and in return you got a place to practice. Like, they had some songs you had to do.
Well, they didn't force you to do them. Everyone was happy to do them, you know, was part of it.
And what was the band scene like there? Was there a band called the Illegal Movers there?
It was, aye.
And that was, like, the Sons band of the guy?
Oh, yeah, Ricky Murray. Yeah, he's a good friend. He's been in quite a few bands. I was in a band with him called the Mullet Police.
The Mullet Police?
Yeah.
What sort of Pearl Jam covers did you do in that?
A couple. No, we used to do... we did one. We used to do Tide of Sex by Weezer. You know that song?
Not totally familiar with it.
I'm stunned that you're aware of the Illegal Movers, like, and of Ricky Murray. I can't believe that, like...
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, the Illegal Movers, we have the Future Heads, all these bands at the Youth Project coming together. Was there a bit of rivalry between all the bands?
Not really. I think we were all pretty much best friends, to be honest.
Because I heard there was this certain quote that came out from your parents. Get on stage, you big babies! Do you remember that at all, Ross?
I have to say that it doesn't ring any bells with me. Are you sure Tom Cruise didn't say that?
No, it was in a gig you played with the Coyote Men at the Ropery. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, I remember that one very well, thanks.
Maybe you could explain the background. The Coyote Men played a wicked set, and then you guys, the Futureheads, were afraid to go on.
Absolute rubbish.
And then your parents were there and said, get on stage, you big babies, which is great. Your parents were supporting you, kicking your asses.
You got misinformation there, because the Coyote Men, for one, played an atrocious set. I don't know if you probably are aware of them, seeing as you've got this sort of unusual knowledge of Sunderland music, but, you know, for people watching, the Coyote Men are a band from the Northeast who wear Mexican wrestling masks when they perform, and I have it on good kind of authority that in their day they were a great band, but they had some lineup changes, thought they could come back and be as good as they ever were, had a new singer, he was a total knobhead, used a lot of our gear, smashed it all up, kind of kicked glasses all over, wrapped the microphone lead around his head, tried to do really clever, crazy punk rock things, and just really got on our nerves by spoiling all our equipment. So we couldn't really go on after that because we didn't have any equipment to play, because they'd broke it all. And then a big fight ensued. He got punched on the nose by a friend of ours. He was bleeding.
Oh, sorry for bringing up such a touchy thing.
Dry your eyes, Mr. Coyote Man.
I just thought it was great, though, that your parents are there. Get on stage, you big babies, like your parents were supporting you.
I have to say that quote doesn't ring any bells, mind.
Because I thought the parents were, like, supporting you, which is pretty cool. You know, instead of, like, them trying to kill the Coyote Men, they were, like, equal. Like, are your parents that supportive?
The parents are pretty supportive when it comes to playing shows. There was only your mum and dad there that night, though, wasn't it?
My dad's got our first 30 shows on bootleg mini-disc.
So we can check that out if we want. The Coyote Men versus the Future Heads in Sunderland. And winding up here, Future Coyote Heads, I was wondering about all the fun that you have when you play rock. Because there's quite a bit of fun, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of fun.
What was the deal behind the bingo card you guys hung out?
Oh, it was a competition that we had. Different points in the set, certain things would happen. Every gig, at some point, Ross's glasses fall off. So that would be one to tick off.
And what were the other things that happened during the gig?
Barry does a crazy dance with his legs, and that would often get people to tick off their card. You know, Dave would drop some sticks. Jaff would say something pretty stupid. I don't know, I can't really remember other...
It was just a daft game, really, to give away T-shirts that people...
And, 7-inch, one-sided 7 inches as well.
Yeah.
There's also the Future Heads dance. What is the Future Heads dance?
Would you like to show him?
I don't really know what the Future Heads dance is.
Maybe you could show me, please, Ross. What is the Future Heads dance?
Well, similar to the Bruce Springsteen dances.
Well, I can show you the Bruce...
There is a Future Heads dance, isn't there? Like, don't the crowd get into a Future Heads dance?
I don't think they do, like, if they do, I...
We're all moving back, because something's going to happen here, I know it.
Oh, well, nothing's really going to happen, but during Hounds of Love, we sometimes split the audience into two sides, and my side will sing my part, and Jaff's side will sing his part, and I often get in a mood, because my part's a little bit more complicated, and so less people sing with me, and that means his side's a lot louder, and that makes him smug for the rest of the day. But as far as a dance is concerned...
I thought there was a dance. Come on, there's some sort of dance.
You
don't want this to be the dance, do you?
Not really.
No, you don't want... So you better make one right now.
Well, what about the sort of leg?
Isn't there a Future Heads dance? Like, the crowd does the Future Heads dance.
I don't think so, no.
I read a review and it said the crowd was doing the Future Heads dance.
Great.
That's just hype, I think.
That's hype. Don't believe the hype.
Winding up your Future Heads, I want to ask you, Barry, about Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
You're into Danny Elfman, aren't you?
Yeah,
We've
I do.
We've been winding up for quite a
yeah.
long time, haven't we?
I like... he wrote the theme tune for The Simpsons, and he writes all the music for Tim Burton films.
And he was in Oingo Boingo?
Yeah, Oingo Boingo. Oh, yeah.
Now, are you aware of Danny Elfman's brother, Richard Elfman?
I've heard of him, actually, but no. Is he in a band as well?
Well, I want to give you guys some ammo to help conquer North America.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Oasis failed, and I guess it's up to you guys. So I thought I would give you a copy of Richard Elfman's film. I don't know if you ever heard about this. Whoa. Forbidden Zone.
I've never heard of it, no.
And this is Richard Elfman, who is Danny Elfman's brother, and it is the wildest movie ever, and it is Danny Elfman's original. It is the original.
I don't think this will work on our video player.
Well, maybe you can find one on tour, play it before you go on. But it was the original soundtrack that he contributed to.
All right, wow. What, it's first ever one he composed?
It is, to Forbidden Zone. It's the brother, because the two brothers, yeah. They started Oingo Boingo.
What about the third brother, Evil Elfman?
I don't know about him.
He's done some pretty nasty stuff.
That is the most nasty, messed up movie ever, though. You're really going to enjoy it. Wow. Forbidden Zone by Brilliant. Richard Elfman.
Brilliant.
To help you conquer...
the continent of North America.
The continent of...
North America.
One other thing I want to mention. Here we are at Scratch Records. You guys covered a television personalities, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
The song Dorian.
Great.
Do you know a Canadian band called Youth, 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 named after... I think a Generation X song.
Oh, all right, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Just checking on the punk cred there.
All right, okay. So,
they also cover that song as well.
Excellent, do they?
So you guys have been doing a few covers, you know, television personalities. Kate Bush, have you run into any other bands that have been covering the same songs of you? Or have you heard other people covering songs that you've been doing?
No, there was a band from Newcastle called China Drum that also covered with a Kate Bush song, Wuthering Heights. But that's the closest that I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Have you been getting any Kate Bush fans coming out to any Future Heads gigs?
Absolutely loads.
Can you tell a Kate Bush fan versus a Future Heads fan?
They're usually a lot older.
Really? What's the real age for the Future Heads?
Well, the general Future Heads fan would be quite young, I should imagine. You know, in the UK, it's pretty much younger than out here because there are some crazy laws which say that people under 21 can often not get into shows or under 19 or whatever, so that kind of spoils the fun a little bit. But in the UK, people would be like, you know, 15, 16, all the way up to... 35, 40, whatever. People who were there saying I was there the first time round when XTC put out their first record, I've seen this. But, I don't know, it's all good. They generally don't get down the front, though.
Well, thanks very much, Future Heads. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Hello, people out there.
Why should people care about the Future Heads? Why should people care?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. People don't care enough about anything. It's not people should come down to the show. People should dance their little asses off. People should sing along to the songs. Clap when we clap, which, you know, is catching on a little bit more, I think, these days. Sing when we sing, especially my side. And just enjoy themselves.
Well, thanks so much, Future Heads. Keep on rocking in the free world, and do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do.